This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning, everybody. Until very recently, when I took on the mantle of the head of crime business area, I was the ACPO portfolio lead for serious and organised crime and intercept within that portfolio. And for 2 years, I was the national coordinator for serious and organised crime. And I think it's fair to say that for most of that five-year period, serious and organised crime has been regarded as somewhat of a niche business as opposed to a core business, and very much came second best as regards resources when it came to dealing with volume crime. And at times it felt like an uphill battle to convince people that more resource, more time, more effort and more government interest needed to be taken in the organised crime agenda. I'm particularly pleased to be talking here today because I feel that there is a momentum, and it's important that in these difficult times that momentum is maintained. It's my role this morning as the first speaker to set the scene for the conference, give you some things to think and reflect about during the course of the day in the broadest sense of serious and organised crime. And I say that very conscious of the fact that certainly in this room, the vast majority of people are not from either the police or another law enforcement agency. You're a variety of stakeholders and partners of policing and law enforcement. I'm going to talk a little bit about the challenges facing all of us, what it is I believe that we're getting right, where I believe we need to do better for the future, and what the future itself might hold as regards serious and organised crime. You don't need me to tell you that we're facing an unprecedented financial challenge, and that's putting constraints on all of us in terms of the resource we have available to us to do the job that we need to do. And I don't think it requires further elaboration. The manner in which this conference is being delivered this morning is a manifestation of that. And in the face of that financial challenge, we're charged with delivering on what the Coalition's organised crime agenda is. I'm not going to steal the Minister's thunder because he's speaking here shortly. Very shortly, the Coalition will deliver a new organised crime strategy, and that will for the first time involve a broad range of stakeholders and other agencies in expectation of a collective and more joined up effort in relation to organised crime. And I'm sure he'll also talk about the emergence of the National Crime Agency. I am pleased to say that ACPO is very much engaged in the work to deliver those two things, both the prospectus for the Organised Crime Agency and what the strategy looks like when it comes. But I'll leave the Minister to talk more about that. The scale of the problem. For the first time, through organised crime group mapping, which I'm going to talk a little bit about shortly, we have a much better handle on the scale of the problem. We've always known what the problem was. Organised crime mapping has identified the long tail of organised crime, as it were, and the current numbers sit at 38,000 individuals made up of 6,000 groups. That's quite a challenge. And I know my own BCU commanders have expressed a fear that how are we going to manage the expectations of what is coming in this strategy in terms of taking on all of these individuals whilst we have to deliver on volume crime. I think the simple answer to that question is, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the people and the groups as opposed to the type of crime, and the end results in terms of scales of volume crime should be the same. But there's no question about it, it will require a cultural shift within the police service and within other agencies. We fight a battle to protect our frontline covert assets, competing with priorities and other demands. There is increased media interest and scrutiny of our covert tactics, and that is bringing with it a much heightened level of public interest and knowledge around the covert world. Issues of proportionality, legitimacy are all in the media and are being questioned. The sophistication of organised crime groups presents a challenge. Keeping up with them is not easy. It costs money. Recent examples of ever-increasing sophistication in the methods of communication by organised crime groups, voice over internet protocol, new and diverse and innovative transport routes for Class A drugs coming into the country all present significant challenges for us. The continuing challenge for some forces, my own being a prime example, of gun crime and the diversion of resources that are required to deal with that. The loss of the MPIA and standards, which is something I feel quite strongly about. There's an awful lot being said about rubbishing manuals, codes of practice, doctrine. There is a plethora of this material. The different language that's used to describe it is not helpful. But what I would say is we need to be very careful that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. because there's some really good work being done in terms of bringing consistency of approach and effective operating methods. And finally, corruption remains a constant threat to all of us. What do I believe we're getting right? Well, I believe that covert policing has always punched above its weight and has produced excellent terms in terms of the relatively small investment compared to other areas of policing, particularly despite it not having been seen as a priority and somewhat of a Cinderella. The current heroin droughts reflect that success. That's just one indicator, both at home and abroad. Individual forces have invested significant amounts of money in covert assets. And I think the easiest way to exemplify that is the massive increase in the last 3 or 4 years in the number of forces who are using intercept product. Now, you can't have intercept. There's no point in having intercept product if you haven't got covert teams to work with that product. But when I took over the intercept portfolio, there were probably only 5 or 6 forces in the country. And now every single police force is engaged in that level of covert activity, and that's producing some fantastic operational outcomes. We've got much better at using intercept product, the driving of parallel evidence gathering operations. At a strategic level, the Organised Crime Partnership Board has been established. That reflects a greater desire for the various agencies to work together. I think we have reached a point where that board now needs to evolve from a body that has delivered on projects and strategy and start getting involved in driving national tasking, which I'll talk about in a moment, and organised crime group mapping. We've had the UKTA for a long time. Crime mapping complements that UTA and I think reflects a massive step change in our ability to identify not just what the problems are, but who presents the greatest threat and risk to our communities and gives us a much more effective tool in order to be able to focus our resources. The development of the regional intelligence units, the regional operational crime units, are really starting to make a difference and, again, producing some outstanding operational outcomes. And the broader collaboration agenda, the sharing of assets in technical support, in undercover operations, major crime units and other aspects of serious and organised crime. What could we do better? National tasking model. The ability of providing assurance to government that we know what the problem is, who the people are who are presenting the problem, and who's doing what about it. It seems amazing to me, frankly, that we're still not capable of doing that. I think we're close to it, but we need to do some more work, but I think we'll get there pretty soon. The Organised Crime Coordination Centre is work in progress, a national capability, a multi-agency capability to deal with flagging the National Compromise Database in a much more effective way than has hitherto been the case. The aggregation of organised crime group mapping to build the regional and national pitches and to provide strategic support to deliver that national tasking that's so badly required. I think we need sharper, shorter and better focused operations. We have had some fantastic success. When I was ACC operations in the crime squad, one particular case I remember, a Turkish individual called Recep Yilmaz, who was put away for 27 years, but it took an awful lot of people and an awful lot of money, the best part of 3 or 4 years to do it. And whilst we were doing that, there was an awful lot of people that we weren't looking at. And I think whilst some individuals and some groups do require that sustained approach, there are an awful lot more we could do in terms of focusing on our operations more acutely and actually having an effect on a greater number of offenders. We badly need to join neighbourhood policing to the organised crime agenda. Every single one of those 38,000 nominals lives in a neighbourhood somewhere in the UK. And I don't see any reason why every PC and every PCSO should not know who those individuals are and what we expect of them in relation to our fight against organised crime. We need to have better alignment of our covert operations to our uniform disruption, and we need to protect our tactics, particularly in light of the pending Kennedy inquiry, which Bernard Hogan Howe is doing for HMIC. It's imperative that we don't lose the tactics that give us so much success through unprofessional use of them. The key is maintaining and ensuring we have legitimacy and proportionality, and there is a debate to be had around proportionality. Clear operational objectives, avoiding mission drift and professionalism, and most importantly, from my perspective, intrusive leadership at the very highest levels of the police service and the equivalent in other law enforcement agencies. The professionalising of investigators programme, PIP. We don't have an equivalent for covert investigators for serious and organised crime, and we badly need that. So what might the future bring? Police and crime commissioners. Lots of uncertainty about what relationships will be, but it's absolutely critical that we do have effective working relationships, not just between chief constables and crime commissioners, but chief constables, crime commissioners, the National Crime Agency, the CPS, and all the other agencies who are involved in the fight against organised crime. And hopefully the strategic policing requirement, which is currently being drafted, will deliver some clarity as to what that might look like. It's essential, in my view, to involve ACPO and whatever replaces the Association of Police Authorities in the governance of the National Crime Agency. I think we'll have, in fact, it's inevitable we'll have less resource, but there's no reason why, whilst having less resource, we can't have better skilled staff. And the CID career pathways work that's being carried out within ACPO will help us achieve that. We can't arrest our way out of the problem. We have to look, be more effective in serious and organised crime prevention and more effective in disruption. It's imperative to maintain the momentum that we've gained despite the cuts that we face. I'm confident that we have the people, the skills and the will to achieve that. And I thank you for listening this morning.